All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't fight?
Shit! I'll fucking take all you
want! Good morning.
Morning. Very happy to be here.
We weren't in California. We were in New York. I mean, I know it feels like we traveled all over the country. I'm exhausted.
I've been taking some pharmaceuticals.
Between 4 days at Toy Fair, and then we had that Geek Girls party on Saturday night, I'm beat. I'm ready to sleep a lot. Is that your faux crying?
What is that? Not faux.
Oh, that's real crying?
It is faux real. That's what it is. Well, this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 180.
Right.
Toy Fair 2010, part one.
Part one, because we anticipate many parts.
I'm going to say at least...
I'm thinking three.
I think at least three.
I'm thinking three.
Because we have a bunch to get through today. I don't think we're even going to get through them all today.
No.
The one scheduled for today.
This is what I'm thinking. Whatever we don't cover in three, oh well.
So you better hope you make the cut, people.
That's what I'm saying. Because after three, I don't know if I could do much more than that. Yeah, lots of photos, lots of good stories, but past three,
I starts
to get fuzzy. I start to forget.
It's already fuzzy. I'm already forgetting.
I barely remember Hasbro.
And then like in 2 weeks from now, you're going to be like, remember we saw that thing at Toy Fair? And I'm going to be like,
no.
What the fuck is Toy Fair?
Last year? Why was it? Was it in Jersey? Was it Edison? Where was it?
Yes. Toy Fair, not Toy Show.
Right. Oh, my bad.
Geek Stuff. What's in the news?
There's really not a lot of news tonight. We're really going to kind of blow through this.
Yeah, we got
the first segment,
right,
so that we can kind of keep segment two starting with our Toy Fair coverage.
Right. So let's blow through what little there is here as soon as we possibly can.
Underworld. Another one.
Yay, I like the Underworld series.
In space.
Yay, I don't like that idea.
Now, we have no actual information. I mean, like, I think they're putting together the script right now, and there's talks that somehow there's going to be space involved. And I don't mean, like, empty space. I mean, like, outer space. So,
Werewolves in Outer Space,
is out.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, she's been out for a while.
I know. She was out. She wasn't in the third one.
Rhona Mitra replaced her,
I think.
Another extraordinary hottie.
So it's going to be vampires, werewolves, and Jason. Is he still floating out there somewhere?
No, sir.
Oh, did he come? I didn't see Jason in space.
Jason X. That's what that one. And no, he came back down, sir.
Ah, okay.
And then they did other movies after that. But
was there one after that?
Freddy vs. Jason was after that, technically. Chronologically, I don't know. I don't know how it works.
I thought Freddy vs. Jason was before Jason.
No. Freddy vs. Jason was... Jason X was the last, one might say, the last in the original chronology.
And then next is Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
If that's going to happen. But no, then there was the reboot.
Right, right, there was the reboot.
So, but that's, but no one, that's a different continuity, I guess.
Right.
How did we get here?
I had space.
Oh, right, werewolves in space.
Right.
So, well, if Rhona Mitra's in it.
You're okay with it.
It doesn't matter. Even if she's not in, I'm going to see it anyway. Werewolves in space. And the underworld sort of mythos is
you like
very,
it.
Yeah, it's good.
All right. Moving on beyond Thunderdome. That means I'm going to talk about Mad Max now.
Yes, I gathered from the way you ham-handedly made that segue into this.
Tom Hardy stepping into the role of Max.
What about Mel Gibson?
Stepping into the role of retirement. Now, I don't know. Mel Gibson, I guess, didn't want to do it.
That's dumb.
Which originally we thought maybe like Mel was going to have like some sort of
cameo
as Max, and then they would kind of like.
And this would be like his son or something.
Well, about his.
Right?
Yeah, because we thought like. We knew Charlize Theron was in it in some capacity, and we thought maybe she would kind of step into some role, but. Tom Hardy is apparently taking on the role. And this, according to what I've read online, taking place after the death of Master Blaster, which doesn't really quite make sense, right?
Well, no, because Master Blaster sort of dies. Well, Blaster dies in the middle of Beyond Thunderdome.
Right.
So I'm not sure. I mean, unless they're just using that as a point to say that it takes place
after
Thunderdome.
Beyond Thunderdome. Right. Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's, you know.
Well,
like the big bad
or... right. Extraordinarily bad idea to replace Mel Gibson in a Mad Max movie, I think.
Maybe he didn't quite fit as nicely into the Mad Max, like, what's his name, fit into the Plissken outfit.
Irrelevant, really, because I think, hey, sir.
Sandwiched him in there.
Sir, I'd like to point out the fact that Mr. Kurt Russell,
yeah,
that was his original costume from Escape from New York.
No.
And he fit right back into
good,
it.
Good for Kurt Russell. I meant Mel Gibson.
And what
he's kind of filled out a little bit more.
Well, he has, but that I think the issue more is not whether he's filled out or not, because, you know, Mad Max, he's just finding stuff, and you know, he was a desert nomad at the beginning of Beyond Thunderdome. I mean, they could have easily
you
got
make
around.
Him like a, you make him like a desert hermit now.
You know what? I'm really going to be disappointed if that movie actually gets made and there's no allusion to the fact that this is his son or something like that, or there's no Mel Gibson in it.
As far as I can tell, that's
at all.
Not the case. As far as I can tell, he's playing Max.
That's very upsetting.
All right. Upsetting. I'm just putting it out there.
Okay.
Were you a fan of Joe Dirt?
I saw Joe Dirt. It was one of those movies I think I liked, but I wasn't really sure why.
It's one of those movies where you watch it the first time, and you have a couple of laughs, so you don't hate it as much as you think you did. Plus, Dennis Miller was
right.
Funny, and that the chick was hot. I remember her name. But
I still wanted to hate that movie, though.
I know, but I'm kind of okay with it.
Okay.
I'm not a fan. I don't watch it every time it's on.
Meanwhile,
I have seen it.
20 years later.
The animated series.
Yeah, this is another extraordinary bad idea. Is Spade going to do the voice?
I think he's producing, writing, so I'm assuming he's going to do the voice. So what else is Spade doing right now? Nothing, right?
Nothing.
He's not on
What's
any TV
name?
Shows anymore, so he's got no real...
Heather Locklear,
anything.
Isn't that?
Is he with Heather Locklear?
I think he is.
Oh, good for him.
I guess.
Well, anyway, Joe Dirt, the animated. I told you news was
a little.
Moving forward in the pitch black world, the universe, the Riddick world, I guess
yes.
Is really what we should call it.
Right.
Apparently, they're working on a third film.
Which is good.
It is going to be closer to Pitch Black than it was Chronicles of Riddick. That is to say, it will be more about the Riddick character as opposed to universe in which he is thrust.
Okay.
Because Chronicles of Riddick kind of broadened it out a little bit. And, you know, Pitch Black was kind of focused. So I guess the idea is to kind of focus it a little bit more. I mean, Chronicles of Riddick, people either absolutely loved it or absolutely hated it. There didn't seem to be a lot of gray area there.
I was on the love side of that equation.
Yeah, you're a fan of it. It was all right. I mean, I didn't hate it either. Actually, I wasn't a huge fan of Pitch Black, so I'm kind of still in the meh.
Which is surprising because, I mean, Pitch Black was really kind of an exceptional movie.
I mean,
it kind of came out of, and the reason you have a Chronicles of Riddick is because that movie was like, you know, very good, especially for its time, like it was 100 years ago. But I mean, especially at that time, there wasn't a lot, you know, kind of happening. And
right.
That movie really kind of broke through, which I thought was very surprising even at the time.
Yeah.
But the Vin Diesel character of Riddick was fantastic. I mean, it was great that they decided to do a sequel.
Absolutely.
And now another one. So, and then they did that little animated piece.
Yeah, it was
too,
like
Dark Fury.
Right?
Yeah. Which I think was a prequel to Chronicles of Riddick. So
yeah, it kind of filled in the gap between Pitch Black and Chronicles of Riddick, I think.
Yep.
While we're talking about sequels, we can talk about Wanted 2 is on the horizon.
Uh-huh.
Millar is working on that also.
Okay. I got no beef with that.
I like the book. I like the movie, which was very different from the book, but I like both of them.
Right.
I thought they were both, you know, good, kind of fun. Sure. I mean, there was nothing to it brainy-wise. It was what it was.
Yep.
And then the bad one is that there is rumor and speculation that DC and Warner might be moving forward with a Watchmen sequel.
It's not going to happen.
You don't think so?
No.
There might be a possibility.
No, I don't think so.
All right.
I'm going to say no effing
way. Well, I'm going to say that I don't want it to happen. I want to preface this by saying I don't want it to happen. I want to preface this by saying that because I don't want to get beat up next week.
If it was a prequel.
All right. That.
Even if it was a prequel, there's not enough original material to support a second movie prequel.
Even if it was a prequel, it would still be a miserable, terrible idea.
Yeah.
That being said, if they had to, if there was no choice, I'd almost rather a prequel. Because at least there is some sort of established goings on. I mean, how do you follow?
You can't.
Up that
it's got to like, be. It would have to be a prequel. And why would you even bother?
Why exactly? I mean, I don't know. I guess you could do some of the original Watchmen stuff.
But
do you really want to see it?
And you'd also be creating that material,
right?
It would not be. There's not enough original material to support another movie.
I mean, unless you're gonna live action up like Tales from the Hood or whatever it was,
Black Freighter.
Yeah. Well, no, Black Freighter, but then what was the other one? There was the
The autobiography?
Yeah.
They did that.
Yeah, they kind of same. Well, they did that on the
They did a DVD.
Yeah.
It was on Tales of the Black Freighter.
I know, but it was that was animated also, wasn't it?
No, it was live, sir.
That was live. Oh, that was live. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Only Black Freighter was was animated. I forgot about that.
But that's like, again, not. I think it's a terrible. You know what it is? It's The Matrix 2. You know what I mean? The Matrix was done. That movie was nearly perfect the way that it was.
Yep.
And they were like, shit, that movie did really good. You know, if we did a sequel to that movie, exactly like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's dangerous. I think, you know, Alan Moore is going to throw his fife at somebody and
it doesn't matter.
He doesn't care anymore.
It's not even that
it's
he doesn't
past his control at this point.
Exactly. You know what? If that were the case, we'd have had Watchmen action figures 10 years ago from the book. You know, except for the fact that douchebag, what's his name? In 96, right? That would have been the 10th anniversary?
Yes.
So in 96, we would have had Watchmen action figures. Or was it 2006? I can't remember. It was one of the two of them. Maybe it was the 20th. Yeah, I think it was the 20th. We would have had Watchmen action figures,
but
except for Paul Levitz, the head of DC, is a douchebag.
Right.
Can't get along with nobody. But
fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
Hate that guy. All right, Cap, the movie.
Oh, boy.
We have some news and rumors.
Okay.
We'll start with rumors.
Okay.
Currently, the person in the front of the line, according to the interwebs, and again, I believe this is all speculation and there's not actually any truth to it, Chris Pine.
Too small.
To be Cap.
Too short. Too small.
Too small.
I think.
I mean, unless they're going to find a way to
CG him up.
CG him up. You know, make him, he's Steve Rogers,
possible.
And then they super serum him and, you know, super soldier serum.
You know, the guy that played his dad, George Kirk, would be more like Captain America, I would say.
Yeah, except that guy's in
Thor.
Yeah,
that guy's Thor, yeah.
So I don't think that's going to happen.
There's a problem.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's a rumor. I think this movie is on the fast track, though. They're really looking forward to, they're really looking to start production on this, like, tomorrow. So I would think in the next couple of weeks, everything.
What's cap next year?
Is, yeah, I think so.
That's good.
I think so.
I've always said, and I maintain, and if, it, if they make it any other way, it's a failure, that it has to be Saving Private Ryan with Captain America.
Well, but I think that's what you're going to get.
I hope.
I suspect that's what you're going to get.
Okay.
What we do know, though, is that Red Skull has been confirmed as the big bad, which is good. I'm okay with that. And that the invaders are going to play a prominent role in the film.
Now what? Now which invaders?
We don't know.
Okay.
I mean, there's everybody is presuming Union there. Jack at the very least.
Okay.
And I've also heard Torch.
So the original Human Torch.
The original Human Torch.
Well, that would be interesting how they would sandwich him in without explaining who and what he is. And I guess they're not going to have Bucky.
Well, you know, I haven't heard confirmed one way or the other. It can't. But you have to put Bucky in there.
I don't think so.
You don't think you have to put Bucky in there?
No, I don't. Unfortunately, I don't think you have to put Bucky in there. Yeah, because, you know, that's an, again, that's, you know, there's a big swath of time there between the creation of Captain America, the formation of the Invaders. You know, then you have, then that Bucky is Cap's sidekick. Toro was the original Human Torch's sidekick.
Right.
Which I still don't, I don't know a lot about that character, I'm sad to say. And then you had a bunch of other, like, substitute teacher heroes, like Whizzer.
Yeah.
Who was, like, the Flash. And Union Jack, as you said, who really was, like, the British cap. But, yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, like I said, I think in the next week or two, maybe 3 weeks, you're going to hear a lot of information. And obviously, okay. We'll talk about it.
Geek Stuff. DVD News.
DVDs.
There was really only a handful.
Okay.
This week that I thought we should mention, that I know that we've both probably picked up at least a couple of these.
All right.
First up is going to be Planet Hulk.
Yes, Planet Hulk, which is actually we neglected to mention last week.
Oh, was that a prior week release?
Yeah, that had come out, and then
was that like a funny release? Like, did it come out like on a Thursday or something?
No, it came out normally. We just neglected it was like fell out of the bag.
Oops.
And we didn't miss it, which says a lot about it. Animated Marvel piece about a specific Hulk storyline where he goes to another planet and he becomes this great gladiator type character there, blah, blah, blah.
I've heard mixed reviews about it. People seem to dig it. But
it does have an Alex Ross cover.
It does.
Which really is a good thing. I mean, you don't go wrong on that account. I was just going to say, but Marvel Animation... Of late, you know,
is not
the last
DC
2 years has been,
and we have
crap.
We have Crisis on Two Earths
coming
soon, to like next week, I think, to
is
look
it?
Forward to. Yeah, I think so.
That's cool.
So there's that. Uh-huh. Law Abiding Citizen came out this week.
Also. Yes. Now I didn't see this flick, but I heard a lot of good stuff about it. Jamie Foxx and Gerard Butler in some sort of crime drama. Heard a lot of good things about it, and the buzz seems to be pretty good, so I'm looking forward to getting a chance to check it out. I bought the Blu-ray version, so I will see it eventually someday.
One day when the planets are aligned properly.
Yes.
Halo Legends out this week. This is the Halo animated
This is kind of the Animatrix of Halo. It's
of
a bunch
Halo,
of
yeah.
Japanese animators who made some short films in the Halo universe. So that's really cool. I did not pick this up.
I'm surprised. You're a fan of the Halo.
Yeah, I am. And I was kind of like, you know, this is definitely something I could buy used. So
Oh, there is that. Yeah, give it a week or two and it'll start showing up in the
Yeah, Houston. I well, or give it 6 months and you know, it'll
go on sale.
Yeah, there'll be some Christmas sale or something.
Right.
Well,
right.
Maybe that would be longer than 6 months, but
I feel you.
I didn't feel like I had to get this right away. You know, I wasn't drawn into it like I was, say, Law Abiding Citizen, which I had to buy right away because you know, willpower is zero.
And in my personal opinion this week, the most important release this week, available only at Amazon, I believe, The Guild Season 3.
Now that makes two seasons I'm now behind.
That's because you're not a fan.
I am a fan. I just don't have an Amazon account.
Right.
I don't understand why I don't have
one. How in this day and age do you not have an Amazon account? Amazon is the best ever. Especially Christmas time, Amazon is the best.
Liz has one.
It's not account. It counts. You have one by proxy.
Yeah, sort of.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comic books this week.
Yeah, there's just a handful of them. I just want to blow through them really quick and let you know what came out without getting into too much detail. From DC, Batman 696. Also from DC and the Batman family, it's Batman Streets of Gotham number 9. A bunch of Marvel titles as well this week. Captain America 603 featuring Nomad, the new Nomad.
Wow.
Daredevil 505, which is a great book, keeps getting better. And Guardians of the Galaxy 23.
Which you just love and love.
You know what? That's a really good book.
I know.
Uncanny X-Men 521. And finally, the trade to check out this week. It's Warren Ellis's Ignition City from Avatar Press. Kind of a space cowboy.
I'm down.
Kind of reminds you of
Firefly.
Take my love, take my land. Take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
Exactly.
So it's a little space cowboy, a little steampunky too, maybe?
Yeah, perhaps? A little bit. Yeah, it's got all those elements.
I'm down. I want it.
Okay.
I'll check it out. It's trade, right?
Trade.
That's easy.
It's right on your up your alley.
I got to wait like a week or two.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Okay, product. Just a pair to talk about really quick this week.
First up is going to be the next Batman black and white piece by DC Direct.
Right, and it's based on the art of Marshall Rogers, a person I'm not very fond of, either in person or his art terribly.
But we have to commend DC on this piece,
right?
Because they're going back to what we said this line should be.
Yeah,
about.
Where this line finds success is doing the 3D versions based on the art style.
And he's what, like late 70s?
Yeah, he's somewhere in there.
Like there, right?
Yeah. Sculpted by Ray Villafane, who does more justice to the 3D sculpture than Marshall Rogers did to the 2D drawing.
Yeah, I mean, I actually like this piece. I like the sculpture a lot. I like the kind of the way the cape kind of is in that billowy kind of glowy kind of thing. I like it. I actually like that piece. I do.
Well,
just me.
It's just kind of it's, you know, if we're talking about ranking them and so on, what's our 106? I'd put this in the 100 area.
All right,
just saying. And also this week from Electric Tiki.
Nice.
It's from their Walt Disney Showcase collection. It's the Classic Heroes statue of the Rocketeer.
Now, you've probably heard us talk about Electric Tiki a lot on this show.
Right.
Although typically we talk about like their tuned up stuff. Their
right.
stylized kind of caricature versions of people.
Sure.
You know, they did like Buffy and they did what, Elvira.
Yeah, they
like
did
Daisy
a whole
Dukes
bunch.
And,
they
like,
did a bunch of people from
I Dream of Jeannie.
Fred Sanford.
Didn't they do like, they did like Bewitched? Like
yeah,
a bunch
they
of
did
stuff.
A bunch of
this
them.
Is not that.
No, this is a more, I wouldn't say realistic, but I would say stylized, but not cartoony.
But not cartoony.
Rendering of the Rocketeer. He is the
Disney version.
Right, exactly. He's flying off of some sort of base looking thing.
Right.
The pack is ignited. I mean, it's a really greatly sculpted, lots of details. The little gum on the back holding the, you know, in the hole and all that sort of stuff is happening here. A terrific, really terrific piece for Rocketeer fans. And we don't get that much, although lately we're getting more.
I was going to say, I suspect there's more Rocketeer on the horizon.
Well, we have the Sideshow quarter scale.
I know. That's what I mean. Coming. I'm just waiting for them to announce the Rocketeer reboot.
Not going to happen. So this is a limited edition of 550. Wow. Which is a small number.
Yeah, that is a small run. Good for
of anything. Yeah. And I think you can buy this through Sideshow. Go over to SideshowToy.com.
They do distribute it.
If it's still available, I suspect it's probably gone. So I'd start looking in
the eBay.
Yes, and other second market venues. Going to run you about $180, sir.
Right.
But it's worth it. It's a big piece, so it's good. And we should say the Batman Black and White also running about $80.
See, that price disparity gets me, man. That gets me. That Rocketeer piece is like eight times the size as that Batman Black and White piece.
The Rocketeer piece is $180.
Oh, I thought you said
Batman
80.
Batman Black and White is 80.
I thought you said 80. I was like, how is that possible?
No, sir. You missed the one.
Yeah, I did. I carried it, apparently, somewhere off into the sunset.
Well, why don't we carry ourselves off into our first break?
Right.
And we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 180, Toy Fair 2010, part one.
Matt, I just got a brand new 2-pound bag of Jelly Belly jelly beans. They come in 49 flavors, all of which I'm going to read for you right now. Berry Blue, Blueberry, Bubblegum.
Jelly Belly is the original gourmet jelly bean, a fat-free candy with only 4 calories per bean.
Cotton candy, A&W cream soda, crushed pineapple, Dr. Pepper.
You can go to jellybelly.com to find recipes on how to combine your favorite jelly bellies to come up with new and exciting flavors, like mud pie and berry smoothie.
Orange juice, orange sherbet, peach, peanut butter, pina colada, pink grapefruit, plum, raspberry.
And with Easter just around the corner, now is the perfect time to get Jelly Bellies for your entire family.
Strawberry daiquiri, strawberry jam, tangerine, toasted marshmallow, top banana.
That's Jelly Belly, the original gourmet jelly bean.
Jelly Bellies, available at a store near you.
Hey, this is Rob Paulson, better known as Pinky.
And Maurice LaMarche, better known as The Brain. Yes. And you are listening to Big Kev's
Geek Stuff.
Narf. Quiet, Pinky, I shall have to hurt you.
The Pinky and the Brain.
Narf.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 180, Toy Fair Part 1. Let's start with it. Saturday. Saturday was Hasbro Day.
Yes, it was.
A long day.
Very long.
Slideshow. There's a free walking.
Yeah, as we, you know, let's call a spade a spade. We go to Hasbro. It's usually a 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 hour presentation, and rightfully so. They're doing it. You know, they're doing it a really effective way, I think, even though it's kind of long. I really do enjoy it, even if I don't maybe realize it at the time. I do really enjoy it. What they do is they bring us to the Time Center. They have a huge like presentation room with big slide projector and so on and so forth. And they go through their what do you call it, their boys lines, I guess, their collectors sort of lines, which are the big four we know: Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Transformers, and Marvel.
Now, we should say that they start this presentation off by saying that in 2010, reimagination is the mantra.
Oh, that's good.
Of Hasbro.
They said reimagination more that day
than we have ever in all of our episodes ever.
In any time I've ever even pushed it as a gimmick, they said it more that day than I've ever heard it said. But yeah, I mean, this is what they've decided to do. So,
and good for them.
Yeah, let's quickly go through the lines. Okay, let's start with the bottom of the barrel, Marvel.
I can only think of one thing in the Marvel line that really jumped out and bit me in the nose.
Okay, what was that?
That would be the 19-inch Galactus.
Right. So in accordance with their new laws, if you will, not laws, but their new ideas, 3¾ is moving forward, despite the fact that, you know, from our perspective, it doesn't seem like 3¾ is selling, number one. Number two, you know, I haven't, if I've seen more than a dozen characters, I don't remember it. But apparently they're coming to the table with tons of new characters in 3 3/4, la la la, and in conjunction with that, a 19-inch fully reworked, fully articulated Galactus. No, it's not just a reissue of the Marvel Legends Build-A-Figure from years ago.
Bigger than that, right?
Yeah, I think it is bigger than that.
Yeah, I think it's bigger than that.
He's huge, mungus. He's got lots of lights and sounds and things and stuff. And yes, he was really cool. For me, though, that did not offset the fact that the rest of the line just sucked.
Well, the Spider-Man line that we saw, right? Because I had a whole wave of Spider-Man stuff.
Now it's 3 3/4.
Right.
Right?
On the ones where the sculpting didn't suck, the rest of them were all kitchen sinks.
Right. So, and what we mean by that for you new listeners is this would be a character, and it's usually a main character like a Batman or a Spider-Man, where they have put him in an outfit that he has never been seen in before, either in comics or animation or live action. The best example, Scuba Spidey. There's never ever been a Scuba Spidey in any sense of the word in any time. Yet they've managed to put out, what, a dozen different types of Scuba Spideys.
Exactly.
So, and we should stress, of course, that Hasbro's line on this is, well, we're putting these figures out for kids to enjoy and play with. And that's all well and good, except for the fact that nobody's buying them, kids or collectors. So I don't understand where the justification is here. I don't try to find the justification for this stuff. I thought the Marvel presentation and the Marvel product line for 2010 overall was a giant failure. They are going to come back to the market with some 6-inch 2-packs.
Yep.
So some Legends type 6-pack, 2-packs rather, which are going to be exclusive to somebody. Nobody
Walmart.
Knows. Is it Walmart?
Yep.
Well, whomever it was. And yeah.
Mighty Mugs are continuing. Those are going to be TRU exclusives.
Which is odd, considering TRU is having trouble blowing out the Mighty Mugs they have now at like 50 or 60% off, which I think is very strange that Mighty Mugs is continuing.
I will say that the role play Iron Man stuff, the 1-1 scale helmet, or what is sort of a 1-1 scale helmet.
Yeah, actually.
And the Repulsor Ray glove.
Right.
That stuff was pretty cool.
Yeah, that stuff's pretty cool. You know what? You know, we were talking about this the other week off air because I had gotten a hold of one of the Clone Trooper helmets that Hasbro put out, which I think is a really terrific piece.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's not now clearly it's not a movie or animation exact replica, but you know what? It looks good. I mean, it looks really good.
Yeah.
You know, and the Iron Man helmet coming out, it's kind of the same deal. It looks really cool. You know, and if it has some play features or something, that, you know, it's all right. It doesn't have to be perfect as long as it looks cool.
Also, Tony Stark, Iron Mash.
The latest crossover into the Mr. Potato Head, of course, will be, the Iron Mash.
And we also saw the, Galactic Heroes? Not Galactic Heroes, that's the Star Wars version.
Yeah, it's the
Superhero Squad.
Right, Superhero Squad.
There were some cute pieces in that line, too.
Right, these are the little mostly PVC, mostly unposable.
MODOK?
Yes, MODOK was one. There were a few other ones there that were very interesting. They're starting to reach back a little deeper into the Marvel Universe and make cutesy characters out of people in the Marvel Universe. That actually got, I think that got the most applause or the most kind of fanfare, I guess that's not even the right word. The most people were awake for. Yes, that's accurate. Most people woke up when they showed that because at least there was a plethora of characters. Everybody likes them, you know, across the board. They're a good concept that works. And so, therefore, the slew of characters they showed during that presentation were warmly received.
Absolutely.
Yes. Let's move on to Transformers.
Who cares?
Yeah.
With a handful of exceptions.
Exactly. And it's not that we think Transformers are bad. It's not that we don't like Transformers. It's not that we're saying you shouldn't like Transformers. Everybody should like what they like. I don't like Transformers personally. However, they got me this year because they threw up the brand new Transformers. Was it War on Cybertron?
War for Cybertron.
War for Cybertron video game.
That Activision is putting out.
Right, which absolutely, they showed us a guy actually was playing it there, and we got to see it on a huge screen, running around in robot form, jumping in the air, transforming into the vehicle. Was amazing.
So we saw that, and Hasbro obviously is working on that because Hasbro works on everything Transformers related.
Right.
But we also saw they have some product coming out for the game. So you have a Bumblebee and a Prime that they showed first.
Right.
Now we should say. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, and these, and of course this takes place. This game takes place before the events of Generation One. So this is before
they get to Earth,
escape Cybertron, and come to Earth. Optimus Prime and Bumblebee are both vehicles of Cybertron.
Right. Bumblebee is not a bug, and
right.
Prime is not a truck. A
right.
Mack truck.
They're actually different vehicles. The figures for those are great. I thought some of the other stuff was a little interesting. There, the one line that I actually like is the human something line.
Yeah,
it's the figures with the human
with the
figures
human,
as well.
Yeah.
That one I think they're doing like one or two pieces for
Human
you.
Alliance.
Human
line,
Alliance, that's it. Yeah. I really like the Human Alliance line. That one I really like. But the rest of it kind of leaves me cold. But it always has, so it's not like I'm coming out saying this stuff's terrible. I don't think that at all. I think it was really, really interesting. And what I thought was Transformers fans would find it interesting.
And TRU, the only exclusive that really, really stuck out to me that made me kind of upset because it means I have to have one. TRU is getting a Grimlock, a classic Grimlock.
Oh, that's right.
This year.
Is that TRU?
It's TRU that has
okay.
that exclusive, yeah. So so you could look forward to that.
Yeah, that Grimlock was pretty bad.
And there was some other stuff. I mean, there was a couple of really cool Ravage pieces. Remember there was a couple
right.
of Ravage pieces that looked really,
movie.
Really awesome from the movie that
yeah.
looked fantastic.
Yeah.
Sculpts on them are great.
Yeah, that might be a mail away also, wasn't it?
Yeah,
some sort of
was
mail
it part of the Hunt for the Decepticons
something,
contest
yeah,
that they have going
like
on?
That.
Yeah,
something across the board. So that's Transformers. Let's move on to G.I. Joe.
Meh. Hiss Tank.
Well, the Hiss Tank looked really cool. Of course, I think the most important thing here to say is that whether they would agree with it or not, I think Hasbro has reversed themselves on their position this time last year before the movie came out. Their position was, we're rebranding everything after the movie.
Right.
And now they have rebranded everything to be not like the movie.
We're distancing ourselves from the movie actor head sculpts.
Well,
we're not going to be doing that going forward.
Right. So none of the characters going forward will have the actor head sculpts from the movie. That would be one thing. I think they've redesigned the card again, so now it's almost going back to the old, you know, the kind of slanted G.I. Joe with the three bars,
right?
That used to be in color, but now it's all in silver,
right?
So that I think they took from the movie, but it's the old logo, right? And then they're doing, of course, they're doing a slew more figures this year. They got a lot of stuff going on. If you're a G.I. Joe fan, I say you got a lot to look forward to. I'm struggling with the notion that maybe I should build a small Cobra army.
Don't do it.
I'm
be
just
be
I'm
strong.
I'm struggling.
Be
especially
strong.
That Hiss Tank was really badass.
We could also say that one of the San Diego exclusives for this year is a 25th anniversary Sergeant Slaughter piece.
Yes, a completely redone, right? Completely
yep.
new Sergeant Slaughter piece.
And didn't they say the Sarge was going to be there?
Yes, I believe they did say the Sarge would be in San Diego. So
there you go.
Yes, that's exciting. The Sarge.
Sarge.
I thought for sure it might be Refrigerator Perry.
Well, he, yeah.
Maybe he'll be.
He had a figure, right, in that,
yeah.
in that line? Yeah, I think
yeah,
I had
he
that.
Did.
Or I had that. He
had
the little
him.
Gap, right?
Yeah.
They
I think,
blacked it out.
I think they should maybe redo the fridge figure. I'm just saying.
Maybe next year.
Maybe that'll be the one they do next year.
Maybe.
And then the Piper one.
There you go.
They did a Piper one. That's so rare, I've never even seen it.
You're a Piper collector.
I know.
So
that's
impressive.
You know what? And I found out late in the game, too, and I was like, oh. And when I saw one online, they were like $400. I was like, screw that. That was like a Joe Con exclusive or something
right.
crazy. But one day. One day I'll find it.
All right.
All right.
Moving on.
right up to the king of the hill,
the true king of Hasbro every year,
the brand that's outselling every other brand
known to man,
in the industry, in the world. It's Star Wars.
And it's a big year for Star Wars.
It is a big year for Star Wars. So last year, you know, my opinion was that they kind of scaled Star Wars back a little bit in preference of Transformers and G.I. Joe, who both had movies moving forward. This year, of course, with as you mentioned, with Marvel, there's a lot of emphasis on Iron Man 2 and Iron Man 2 figures and so on and so forth. And Star Wars, which never left, is back.
Right.
is probably the best way to put it. And they're celebrating the 30th anniversary of Empire Strikes Back.
They are.
With lots of things. Vehicles, redone vehicles, retooled. I was going to say reimagination, but that's inaccurate. It would be reissued vehicles. A couple to mention are the Cloud Car from Cloud City.
Yes!
Which they vowed they would never put out because it's not an action-oriented vehicle.
But they tricked it out.
Yes.
It's got cannons and guns, projectiles.
Yeah, they tricked it out enough that you know, the powers that be were like, okay, you can put it out. So that's very cool.
But for you purists, you traditionalists,
right?
If you don't want to display that stuff, it's hidden well
in the
piece. I mean, it looks like a classic Cloud Car. It really does.
Right. That subject of hidden things will come up again in a minute or two.
It will.
They've redone the Snow Speeder. It's closer to scale now.
Right.
It's smaller than ones that have been issued previously, which is a little closer to scale, which is very exciting.
Right.
And of course, what Star Wars report in 2010 would be complete without mentioning the big dog,
the AT-AT?
Yes, unbelievable.
It's everything you hoped and dreamed for.
Everything,
it's amazing,
and more. Now, without going into detail, without going into hours and hours of detail, which we could easily do. All of the things we've previously discussed are true.
Six figures in the head,
two seated, four standing. It also has one of those glass clear map kind of walls in it that lights up that two of the figures can be working on.
Two levels of play
in the back. Both sides open up.
2 feet tall.
It's at least 2 feet tall. If it's only 2 feet tall, I'm surprised, but it seems to me like it's much taller than that.
The ass opens up.
Yeah, it shits
a snow speeder
bike. Not a snow speeder, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A speeder bike.
You're right.
Yes.
It's
a
hot
speeder bike.
It's got does it come with the grapple on the bottom?
Yes.
But it doesn't come with the figure.
It does not come with a Luke figure, but it does come with a grapple line that goes out of that trap door in
right.
the bottom. And it actually has either a thumb wheel or some spring-loaded feature that will zip the figure up to the bottom of the AT-AT, much like we saw in the movie.
Right.
So that's also true. Also has it also has ropes, if you will, of another type on the other side, allowing characters to... Repel might not be the right word, but kind of blue blazer themselves down,
yeah.
But survive.
You take that first leap out on the rope and just ride the wave.
And I think two characters do
that.
Yeah. They ride down it, right? So we've said that. Lots of play on the inside. Little hatches, little things, little compartments. Another one towards the back that also has a play area. All that, and one of the features, of course, lights, sounds from the movie, lines from the movie, all that stuff. All of that is great. The handle, now, for you old schoolers,
right.
The handle used to have to open that one side door,
and it was
in there, kind of
right.
like a puppet head behind the neck. That's not the case anymore. That handle is now on the roof of the AT-AT. And it folds down and becomes completely hidden.
Yeah, it's got like turret guns on it, right? That fold
yeah.
into the body of the AT-AT.
Yeah, they fold completely flat. You got to be looking for this thing to actually find it to begin with because it folds so neatly in there. I mean, what a phenomenal job they've done on the engineering part of it.
And $99.
Only 99 bucks.
They said that they recognized the fact that the higher price point wouldn't work.
Yes.
And that $99 is the price point for this piece. And For $99, you definitely get your money's worth.
And it comes with at least one figure. I don't know if we cleared up the fact whether it's coming with one or two figures, but it's coming with at least one figure, which I think is a driver.
Everybody needs at least six or seven.
What, AT-ATs? Squad of five?
A squad of five.
One in the box, five out. We should say this also.
The box, right?
The box. Brand new packaging coming to Hasbro Star Wars line this year. They're
the Shadow of the Dark Side.
Yeah.
And it's launching in August.
Is it Blue Sky packaging or
yes.
whatever they were calling it? It's blue and black. Really beautiful package design. Really. And it's going across, and it has Rex on it. It's Captain Rex in the foreground kind of looking. I think that's across the board on all that packaging. Packaging looks terrific. That said, for the 30th anniversary of Empire Strikes Back, the three vehicles we've mentioned so far I don't know. Were these exclusive? I think these were
TRU.
They are TRU. Were they all TRU or just the AT-AT?
Just the AT-AT was TRU.
Okay. But I know they're doing this with the other ones as well. They're actually going to put the vehicles in retro packaging. So we're talking about Empire Strikes Back era packaging with the new AT-AT inside.
Looks awesome.
Right. And one assumes that, well, we haven't seen it, but one assumes that they're going to kind of do, what I would hope they would do is do exactly the same sort of setup or the same photography that was on the old packaging.
Right.
But redo it with the new stuff.
With the new stuff.
New figures, new, you know what I mean? But yeah. the same exact kind of posing and positioning with the cloud car and the other and the AT-AT with all the, you know, the figures in the old packaging, and to redo that exactly but with the new stuff. That would be the coolest thing ever.
Some other pieces that stuck out, we should probably mention there's a couple of really cool Mandalorians coming
yes.
out this next year, one with the speeder bike.
Right, the Mandalorians have invaded the Clone Wars, and of course, Hasbro is following suit with putting out their leader, who is Pree Vesla, I think is his name, the character voiced by Jon Favreau. And yes, there's a generic Mandalorian on some sort of bike that's coming out, that's true. There were some other pieces as well.
Welding Han.
Yes. The big news in 3 3/4, we should say, is that, well, obviously it's going to continue, but they're going to retro packaging on all the figures. So imagine the packages from when you were a kid, and if you're too young to remember, and I don't mean when you were a kid in the early 90s, I mean if you were a kid in the late 70s or early 80s, remember that Star Wars packaging?
Yep.
Well, they're going back to that packaging. And they're going to, at least for 2 years, they've said, they're going to re-release figures from the original run, brand new sculpts, brand new articulation, classic packaging. That is going to be wicked exciting, sir. So like they've been doing, you know, they've been releasing a couple every year, but they release them in the clamshell.
Right.
With the, you know, it's got the original photography on it.
Getting away from all that.
Getting away from the clamshell.
Right.
But you're going to get the retro card, the retro photography, so long as they've done it before. And you're going to get that brand new figure on there as well. That's very exciting stuff.
A couple more things we should mention. We also have, for you Star Tours fans, Disney, the Star Tours boarding set 4-pack is
yes.
coming up this next year.
Uh-huh. That's going to be an exclusive to the parks, right?
That's correct. That is exclusive uh-huh. to the parks.
We got to mention, sir, Force Effects sabers. Removable blades. They have responded. They've done years of research to figure out how to take. Now, for those of you that don't know, Force Effects blades, originally done by Master Replicas, now being done by Hasbro. These are the full-size, full LED lighted blade. The blade moves up when it comes on and shrinks down when it goes off. The light, I should say, not the blade.
Right.
And the biggest criticism, of course, is, you know, you have this big, you know, stick that you're walking around with, not just the handle. Not anymore.
Not
now
anymore.
You can pop that blade out. You can just have the handle. And if you go to turn the handle on, the blade's not in it. It just makes that shorted out sound like
yeah.
it isn't working.
Bzz, bzz, bzz.
At this time, we are unsure if the blades are swappable, meaning you can put the Vader blade
right.
in the Yoda hilt. Or what? Well, I don't think Yoda was one of the original ones. I think it's Anakin, Vader, Obi-Wan, maybe in Luke.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. And so, yeah, this is a huge advancement in that technology, and I'm very excited to say that I can't wait to see those.
A couple more things we should throw out there. The San Diego Comic-Con exclusion this year is some sort of weird Darth Maul, Owen Lars, two-pack. It's like...
It's a comic pack.
It's a comic pack, right?
And that's one of the
Yeah. And then...
It's
Tammy and Fixer. Was the other two pack
right?
Which is the cutscene.
For those of you don't know, well, let's take them one at a time. The Owen Lars and Darth Maul two pack is from. I'm not sure exactly if it's an Infinity story, which is stuff they just made up, or whether it's something. I think it is. I think it's something that doesn't actually fall into canon. And
Maul
it presumes,
isn't dead.
Yeah, it presumes that Maul isn't dead. Maul has a robotic bottom half, robotic right. set of legs. And presumably that the comic will be included, I think, will tell us the story of how maybe Maul came after Anakin, tracked him to there, and something happened. Not sure. But anyway, that two-pack is coming out.
Right.
Comic pack. And the other comic – the other – it's I don't know if it's a comic pack. I think it is a comic pack. It's some sort of two-pack in any event, which is – now, who are the characters? Was Jinx –
Cammy and Fixer.
Cammy and Fixer. Was that what it was? Cammy and Fixer? Yeah. Cammy and Fixer, for those of you who are not Star Wars aficionados, you may remember there was a scene with Biggs Darklighter in Star Wars, who was Luke's friend who went off to the academy, blah, blah, blah. There was a scene where he and two other characters have this kind of hangout session. The two other characters are Cammy and Fixer. So
right.
Talk about obscure characters. You know, I thought Willow Rood or as I call him, the ice cream man. I thought the ice cream man was rare, but you know, this is way rarer than that.
We got two more things and then I promise we're done with Star Wars.
Okay.
We have the Celebration exclusive.
Right.
Which is also kind of a pack together.
Right.
It's Forlom and Zuckuss. On the original cards with the mistake intact.
Right. So
care to explain the mistake.
Right. For those of you that don't know, in the older days.
Kenner days.
Yes. They screwed up and put Forlom on the Zuckuss card and Zuckuss on the Forlom card.
Right.
So to celebrate that mistake and the 30th anniversary of Empire Strikes Back, they're actually releasing the brand new tooled figures. On the wrong card as a special set. So
and that's a celebration.
That's celebration.
And
right.
then I saved the best. Well, what could maybe be the best for last?
Okay.
Rocket firing vintage Boba Fett.
Right. So it is considered the Holy Grail as
Holy
they put
Grail.
Up on the they put it up on the screen and they actually put Holy Grail up on the screen of Star Wars figures. Yes, the never produced rocket firing backpack.
Boba Fett.
He was the original mail-away figure.
Yep.
That came out before Empire Strikes Back. And no matter how many you mailed away for, you never got one that fired a rocket pack because they determined it to be dangerous and they just welded it in there.
Right.
And got rid of all the firing mechanisms. Well, now they've gone back and they're actually going to do a rocket firing Boba Fett on an original card. On the original Boba Fett card, and he will come with a separate rocket other than the red crayon,
right.
which everyone's familiar with, which you can now pop out and you can put in this other piece, this other longer, safer rocket. You can put in there, and I think it's one of those pull down and release firing
yep.
models, and so there it is. But this is not a new sculpted figure.
No, it is a vintage Boba Fett figure.
Vintage, no articulation, C-hand, V-hand Boba Fett
that kind
figure.
Kind of muted paint job.
Yes, exactly.
The lack of detail in the sculpt and face. I mean, it's a great-looking classic
yeah,
figure.
And it's going to be absolutely terrific for everybody to pick up. So that is very exciting Star Wars news. Whew, that's a lot.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah. Let's talk about really quick. Let's just mention a few other things that we saw as we bring part one to a close, and then we'll hit stuff in part two and likely a part three.
Right.
Because there was a lot to talk about.
All right, where do you want to go first?
Let's go with one of our favorites, Mezco.
Mezco, the kick-ass line.
Yes, from the comic book now turned into a movie, Kick-Ass. It seems that Mezco is going to be putting out some action figures and things for Kick-Ass. They look awesome. In fact, they do kick-ass.
As a matter of fact, when you're kind of looking at the Hit Girl one, you almost think just for a second you're looking at a photo. I mean, they did a great job on this.
They are amazing. They are absolutely terrific. I can't wait to see to get a hold of them and to see that movie, and that's very exciting. The other exciting line, of course, that they've picked up is the brand new Green Hornet movie.
Right.
So, and we did see a prototype or something of a Green Hornet action figure from the movie. And they will have a series of other Green Hornet things as well, it would seem.
And in traditional Mezco style, they have some new Living Dead dolls out, which typically we kind of gloss over. But this year, there are three that we at least want to talk about quickly.
Right.
Two singles and a two-pack. So the first single was they have an Alice-themed line coming out, right?
And we right. Alice and like everybody else on the planet, this is the year of Alice in Wonderland. So
there was a Mad Hatter. Right. There was a White Rabbit,
right,
et cetera. They also have Beetlejuice pieces coming out.
Yes. Now,
there's a single and there's a two-pack.
Yes.
So the single is Beetlejuice in the pinstripe suit.
Uh-huh.
And the two-pack is Beetlejuice and Lydia? Was that the character's
yes,
name?
Yes, I think in it was the wedding, Lydia. In the weirdo wedding, dress. Right.
She's got that red, blood-red dress
right.
on. He's got like that...
The purple suit.
That, yeah, like crushed velvet, velvety-looking suit on. So those are really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So Mezco definitely has some stuff coming out that will be on our radar.
Right, and in stores now, you can check out the fabulous stuff they've done for the new Wolfman movie.
Yes.
That stuff has hit stores now, so you can check that out as well.
All right, a company we haven't heard of before but caught our eye as we walked by.
Uh-huh.
Triad Toys.
Yeah, Triad Toys. They're making 12-inch posable figures.
Right.
Like a lot of people are making 12-inch posable figures, except they've got some unique licenses.
Well, they had a Dexter figure.
Right.
Right, which looked really good.
Really good.
I mean, it kind of pulled us into the booth.
Uh-huh.
That and the House figure.
Yes.
They have a House and a Foreman coming.
Right. They have House and Foreman fully articulated, absolutely screen-perfect costumes. He even had the flame cane.
The flame cane.
Which was a terrific accessory. I think what we were seeing were prototypes. I like the House. I thought maybe he could be a slightly bit better on the head sculpt, but we don't know if that's the final version.
Right.
That said, the Foreman was spot on.
Look creepy like him.
Yeah. I mean, spot on. And they intend to do more. They want to get into some of the females like 13 and Cuddy. They
right.
mentioned to us, which were terrific. I think it's one of the surprises of Toy Fair that somebody picked up a House license and is doing House action figures, even if they're 12-inch.
They had some pretty awesome other stuff, too. They had some original stuff.
Right. They had a couple of original pieces.
And then they had some really cool-looking Lone Wolf and Cub stuff, if you're a fan of that series.
Right. The Lone Wolf and Cub comic book is a terrifically successful, long-running bit.
Not to mention the show, too.
Well, they've been around for a long time. And this is a really great version of a 12-inch figure with the cart, with the cub.
Yeah.
And they also had some other great pieces as well. So we can look forward to more stuff from, what was that company?
Triad Toys.
Triad Toys.
I'll try to link to all of these on the site.
Well, of course, you can go over to the site, check out the photo gallery for this episode to check out the related images to the things that we're talking about. And if you're listening on your iPod or your iWhatever or on QuickTime or in iTunes, you can see the images come up as we're talking about them on the show. It's a feature that we enjoy here.
And the last one we're going to hit on tonight is...
Shauna Perry.
The modern day Mego.
She wasn't even there.
MC Toys.
MC Toys.
Doing Mego for everybody.
Yeah, it's... You want some Mego figures done? You call these folks up, and they do Mego figures of your stuff.
Now, we saw the Lost pieces,
right?
Which are pretty cool. The Big Lebowski pieces,
Big
which are
Lebowski,
pretty cool.
Yes.
Was there a? We saw something else
well,
in that.
Well, they're doing Universal Monsters,
right?
For Diamond. They're doing DC,
right, for Mattel. And then for Biff Bang Pow,
right,
they're doing the Venture Brothers.
Right.
Mego-style figures.
Right, Mego-style Venture Brothers.
So for those of you fans of the Venture Brothers out there, they looked awesome. They were, I mean, the Monarch figure looked fantastic. Right. That was a really good-looking figure.
Yeah, they're a great company. They're also going to be putting out some customized kits so you can actually make your own. They told us those were coming down the pipe as well. Plus, they have a few other, they have some other licenses and items as well, which were terrific.
Yeah.
What a terrific little company. It's easy when you have a cookie cutter kind of thing that you can apply. It's not unlike the vinyl movement, except that it's fully articulated and it's really old.
Right. Okay.
You know, it's kind of like the vinyl movement melded with the 70s.
Okay.
Right. And you think that's accurate?
Kinda.
Come on, give me that
one. I'm giving you something, yeah.
Just saying.
I think that's where we have to stop.
Yes, we have to stop. But we will continue in episode 181 with more toy fair
and likely
coverage.
182. But here's what I think we're going to do. We have a really pretty good photo gallery of stuff that we saw.
Right.
Some stuff we glossed over, some stuff we didn't get a chance to mention.
Right.
We're going to put the links to those photo galleries on the site.
Uh-huh.
Go through those galleries.
Yeah.
If there's a piece in there, maybe you see and you're like, hey, I didn't talk about that, but I want to know a little bit more about that. Give us a call.
Right.
Shoot us an email.
Where can they call us?
425-920-6050.
Right.
And, you know, we'll try to – you see so much.
Right.
We can't talk about all of it.
Much as we'd like to.
But, again, go through the photo galleries. If you see something you want to hear us talk about, you want to know more information on, we'll try to get you that information in an upcoming episode.
Right.
We'll kind of make it geared towards what you need to know.
Right. That's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah.
Perfectly fine.
All right.
And with that, we'll take our final break, and we'll be right back with the wrap-up Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 180, Toy Fair 2010, Part 1. Worst commercial gimmick ever.
Hello, nurse. This is Yakko.
And Wacko from Animaniacs, and you're listening to...
Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Keep him tuned in.
Yeah, because if you don't, he'll kill you.
Yeah, he is really big, folks. We're looking at him. It's scary.
We're Animaniacs, totally insane-y, Inky and the Brainy, Animaniacs.
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
You haven't watched it yet, Matt?
No.
I cannot take 57 minutes of nothing on Lost and then 3 minutes of a little bit. You know what I think's going to happen? I think at the end of Lost, they're not going to explain shit, give everyone the finger, and go.
Just like The Sopranos.
I cannot take watching Lost. I can't. Thank God it's the last
season. It's going to be a little kid holding a snow globe eating an onion.
Thank God this is the last season of Lost. Are you kidding? They don't explain shit. It's just, boom, 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 question, and then end. Every goddamn episode.
Can I ask a question?
There it is.
How is Libby the polar bear? Someone explain that one to me, because I don't understand that.
You know what? Anyone that watches the show won't be able to explain anything, because they don't explain anything to anybody, because it's just a fucking series of bullshit over and over and over again. And then at the end, it's a big question and a stare. Jack's staring at something, and Ra's al Ghul is now on the show, and it's over.
All right, well, and there it is.
Welcome back.
All right. What did we talk about tonight? Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 180, Toy Fair Part 1. In the news, nothing significant. Underworld in space. Tom Hardy as Mad Max. Joe Dirt, the animated series. Pitch Black again. More Wanted in Watchmen. The Cap movie starring the Red Skull and the Invaders.
In DVDs, we talked about the new Marvel animated Planet Hulk and Law Abiding Citizen.
Also, Guild Season 3 and yes. Halo Legends out right. this week.
In comics, Uncanny X-Men 521, Guardians of the Galaxy 23, Daredevil 505, Cap 603, Streets of Gotham number 9, and Batman 696, edging ever closer to that magical 700th issue where presumably Bruce Wayne is going to come in. And finally, trade tonight, Warren Ellis's Ignition City Volume 1 has also come out. Very, very awesome. Worth checking out. In product tonight, we talked about the latest Batman Black and White based on the art of Marshall Rogers, sculpted by Ray Villafane. A 2,500 run, going to run you about $80, continuing that terrific series. As well as Electric Tiki's Walt Disney Showcase Collection Rocketeer, a limited edition of 550 pieces. It's a terrific statue. What a great sculpt. Going to run you about $180 thereabouts. Terrific, terrific stuff.
In segment two tonight, we talked about Hasbro.
Yeah, we talked about our 2010 Toy Fair participation, and we got to Hasbro.
Mezco, Triad, and MC.
There it is. In Hasbro, we talked about the four major lines, Marvel, Transformers, G.I. Joe, and Star Wars, and all the great stuff that's happening in all those lines, and not-so-great stuff as well in some cases. We're going to keep it real here. Mezco, we talked about Green Hornet, Kick-Ass,
Beetlejuice,
Living Dead dolls.
Right.
Right. And for Triad, of course, they pulled us in with Dexter, but kept us in for House.
Right.
12-inch action figures. How exciting is that? And also, we talked about
MC.
Right.
The modern-day Mego.
Mego meets the vinyl movement, and they're doing them for everybody. So
yeah, we're doing them for everybody.
Very exciting stuff. If they're actually, we forgot to mention, you know, these are the guys that are actually doing the Star Trek and Planet of the Apes pieces for Diamond as well that have been coming out over the last couple of years. This is them also. So, yeah, terrific stuff from those guys as well. And that's it for this week.
That is it for this week. In the coming weeks, you have such companies as Tonner, NECA, DC, Diamond, Mattel.
And on and on.
So
hopefully we can get through more of them next week. Hopefully.
Don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our episodes. We have some videos up there. New live from Studio V just went up last week. T-shirts still for sale. Don't forget, if there's anything you want to talk about that we discussed on the show tonight, or if you want to go through those photo galleries and see a piece you want to hear a little bit more information on, give us a call, 425-920-6050, and leave us a voicemail, and we'll try to get to that in the coming weeks. And I think that's it.
That's it. That's everything.
All she wrote, folks.
And with that, Just Mike, I'm almost afraid to ask, do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 180, Toy Fair 2010 part 1?
J.J. Abrams, you are close to being a dead man.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Should come to this, we try to warn you all, but oh dear. You may not share our intellect, which might explain your disrespect for all the natural wonders that grow around you. Slugs, walk, and thanks for all the fish.
tune the feats. We thought that most of you were sweet, especially tiny tots and your friend and women. So long, so long, so long, so long, so long.
We could just change one thing. We would all.